Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
So glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Randy Sweet, my colleague at MRM. We don't do this a whole lot, but we recently came across a book that we all feel would be an added bonus to any Christian who wants to effectively understand and share the Christian faith with their friends and relatives who happen to be members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. A lot of the books that we quote and a lot of the books that we go through are usually Mormon books, but this one is written by a Christian. He's a former Mormon. His name is John Wallace, Dr. John Wallace. He happens to be a dentist who practices in Southern California. He's written a book with a very interesting title. It is Starting at the Finish Line, The Gospel of Grace for Mormons. What caught my attention about this book, I think John, and I think I can call him John, I have actually talked with John on the phone and we've conversed via email numerous times. I like this guy. I really do. I like his demeanor. I like his attitude. And I like a lot of things that he says in the book. It's not a perfect book, but then Answering Mormons Questions isn't a perfect book either, okay? But he gives us a lot of good things that I think we can share with our Mormon friends. And even if you don't plan on using it to share with Mormon friends, at least it'll give you a better understanding of where Mormons are coming from. Because John is an ex-Mormon. He talks about how what? He had a grandfather that had converted to Mormonism in the 50s.
And an uncle and a sister. His sister was kind of the final bending point in their whole conversion. She came home from school one day when she was 13, got caught with a pack of cigarettes in her coat. Her mom confronts her, and long story short, it sounds kind of different, but she just started crying and sobbing, and in between cries and sobs, "I just want to be a Mormon."
Okay,
was her statement.
And what's really odd is not long after that, his whole family seems to convert.
3 months after that
incident. He admits in the book that there were some things that later on came about that started to raise a few questions in his mind regarding what he believed as a Latter-day Saint. But before we get into all that, what we want to bring out to you is this. On the back cover, he has three questions that are listed there.
First question, Bill, is struggling with the strict laws and ordinances of the Mormon faith.
I would say probably just about every Mormon reading that would go, well, of course. Most Mormons do struggle with it, although we do occasionally come across some Mormons who give you the impression that they have no problem at all. They do everything, you know. They've done all this from their youth up. The second question.
Longing for a more fulfilling and less complex relationship with Jesus Christ.
The relationship with Jesus Christ in Mormonism can be complex. And of course, in Mormonism, once a Mormon has been resurrected and judged, really Jesus plays no role in their hereafter. Their view of Jesus is certainly different than what we as Bible-believing Christians would hold regarding Jesus. And the third question.
The last one question, Bill, is I think because John Wallace writes this book actually for Mormons, but as you mentioned earlier, Christians can glean a lot of good stuff out of this book. But his last question is, want to know for certainty that you have eternal life?
And that, of course, is the million-dollar question. One of the approaches that he uses in this book that I think is very helpful and very effective, as we know, a lot of Latter-day Saints start questioning their faith when it comes to historical issues. The problem is most of the time when you're having a conversation with a Latter-day Saint, the chances of having a long opportunity to explain a lot of historical issues becomes very difficult. Usually you don't have a lot of time in some scenarios to share with Latter-day Saints to get them to start thinking about things. And if you go towards the historical route first, it's not uncommon that you will probably bring up issues of Mormon history that the Latter-day Saint is not acquainted with, And it's not unusual for them to assume that you have probably made it up, or at least at best taken it out of context or misunderstood the historical event that you might be describing. In the preface of the book, he lays the groundwork for why he wrote this book, and I think it's worth reading.
It's a great preface. He says, "A couple years ago, my longtime friend and business partner asked me a provocative question. He said, 'John, imagine that you are at the podium of an event being held in a large stadium. This stadium is filled with 75,000 Mormons, every Mormon you've ever known plus 65,000 or so, and you've got their undivided attention for 20 minutes. What would you say? What would you do with that opportunity?'"
That's a great question. It's a great couple of questions, because I think one of the biggest problems that a lot of Christians have is they don't get a game plan. And when the Mormon knocks on the door, they're not prepared to talk to them. Or should the opportunity arise in a conversation with a Mormon neighbor, they don't really have an idea of how to start the conversation, or once it starts, where they're going to take the conversation. They don't have a game plan. So asking this question, I think, is excellent. That's a great question. What would you say? What would you do with that opportunity? Let's say, Christian, you only had 20 minutes to get your message across. What would you compact in that 20-minute message?
So John Wallace goes on, Bill, and he says, "My mind darted in 100 different directions. Maybe I could share all of the stumbling blocks of the Latter-day Saints doctrines I struggled with back when I was a member of the church. Or maybe my time would be best served outlining the various discrepancies in Joseph Smith's accounting of the first vision, or the numerous anachronisms and inconsistencies found in the Book of Mormon. Or how about polygamy, racism, or the Mountain Meadows Massacre? So many things, so little time. No, I had just 20 minutes to pour my heart out to these fine people. I would not waste a single minute on any of those issues, not even one syllable. I would focus all of my attention on the finished work of Jesus Christ. I would preach the gospel of grace. I would preach about Christ on the cross, suffering and dying to pay the price for my sin, and about how God accepting the substitutionary offering of his Son as payment in full for every sin ever committed, and declaring righteous every imperfect sinner that receives Christ and trusts in him and him alone for that righteousness, the divine exchange."
Now, it's not that those other subjects are unimportant. Please don't get that wrong. Those subjects are certainly important, but remember the scenario that he was given. He's got 20 minutes, and I would agree with him. I would move as quickly as I could in that type of a direction. Where is the Mormon right now in light of eternity? Because if there's any one question they should have an answer for, it should be that. Are they going to be exalted when they die? Or do they think that perhaps they're going to somehow end up in the second level of Mormon heaven, known as the terrestrial kingdom? Or maybe even the third level, the telestial kingdom? I'm sure the big question for most Latter-day Saints, am I qualified to be exalted, to achieve godhood, and therefore also the perks that come with exaltation, that being with my family throughout eternity? Because that is really the main goal for most Mormons. It's not really to be with Jesus throughout eternity. It's all about being with family. I was just at the Ogden Temple opening and watched again that DVD that they show before you go into the temple of Jeffrey Holland talking about his love for his wife and his children, and making that what I think is a horrible comment about if his wife and children was not with him in heaven, it would not be heaven for me. And it makes me wonder, where's Jesus play in this? I mean, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, as much as I would be sad that loved ones were not with me in heaven, to say it would not be heaven, while at the same time knowing Jesus is there, I could never make a statement like that, which I think shows how different Jeffrey Holland's faith belief is compared to ours. We should talk about his table of contents.
Yeah, let's cover that real quick here.
To give people the idea of what is in this book, very quickly, let's go through the table of contents.
Yeah, he's got an introduction, Bill. He's got his section two is a defense of the Bible. He covers the both the New and the Old Testament.
And I think that's good, because that is a major hindrance to many Latter-day Saints. If you can't trust the Bible, why would you want to trust anything associated with the Bible? I think that's a fair question. And I think in the time that he takes to give a defense of the Bible, and certainly it's not exhaustive, there are volumes written on that subject.
And he has recommendations in the book for our readers that they can go to and further their study on that.
Yes, and he does, I think, give a pretty good overview of some of the major arguments that are being raised today. Then section 3 is the dilemma, he says. Chapter 5 and 6 in that section 3 would be, I am undone and the law. So he's going to go through that. And then section 4.
Yeah, he talks about the solution. Who is Jesus? The cross, the sufficiency of the blood. And then section 5, he goes into the solution. Whoever believes, but as many as received. Chapter 12 is a great chapter, the divine exchange. Section 6, he talks about grace plus works. He really spends a lot of time on that.
As he should, because certainly that is a huge part of the Mormon soteriology. Certainly they do have a grace theology, but that grace must be coupled with works, really, in order for the grace that forgives sins to actually kick in.
Yeah, that's why his last section, chapter in that section, as you mentioned earlier in the program, Bill, he has a good sense of humor, a good way of talking. His chapter 16 is entitled, With Apologies to Nephi. I love that title.
That's and of course, great. The apology has to do with what passage that Nephi is so famous for.
Yeah, 2 Nephi 25:23.
That we're saved by grace after all we can do. And there certainly has been a lot of commentary by Mormon leaders and Mormon manuals as to what 2 Nephi 25:23 really means. A lot of modern Mormon apologists have tried very hard to get away from the traditional meaning of 2 Nephi 25:23, because if it really means that you're only saved by grace after all you can do, the next question is well, who is really doing all they can do? Last section, section 6, was a new creation, talks about being born again, abiding in Christ. The place for works. See, we're not downplaying the need for having works in our life. It's just that they have to be put in their proper perspective. He talks about sin and forgiveness and how we are secure in our salvation. That's the overview of the book by John B. Wallace, Starting at the Finish Line.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Would you like to know more about the Mormon religion while learning how to share your Christian faith? Well, on Saturday, September 6th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson will be delivering their Compassionate Boldness Symposium, Part 2, in Clearfield, Utah. This free PowerPoint presentation includes teaching about the role of Mormon prophets, the Book of Abraham, the LDS doctrine of eternal progression, and what Mormon leaders have taught regarding exaltation and godhood. Now, while it is part two, you don't need to have attended the first part. It all takes place on September 6th at Calvary Chapel, Wasatch Front, which is located at 564 South and 800 East in Clearfield. A question and answer session will follow. If you'd like more information, simply go to mrm.org and click on the link that says Calendar at the upper left side of the homepage. As always, we hope to see you there.